I was sitting there watching Melissa. I told you guys this before, but I remember when she used to sing John Denver for our family reunions. And I get a kick out of it every time, man, when she's up here singing and testifying.
Amen.
And I was thinking in the seat there, what she said exactly what I was thinking. I'm thankful for the grace of God. And we'll be preaching about that a little bit. But there's nothing like worshiping the Lord, like he was saying.
Amen.
Thanking God. When you're alone riding down the road and you get a song or whatever, sometimes I just feel like somebody's praying for me, and I can tell there's something going on around me.
Yeah.
And it's like the grace of God just comes down on you, and you just get excited.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't tell you how many times I've either been, I remember down in Pensacola one time I was spraying pest control around somebody's house, just walking around with my backpack, looking like a weirdo, spraying stuff, and I just like, you know what? Thank God I was out in these people's front yard doing that. I was like, hallelujah, I'm glad I'm saved.
Yeah.
And so, and I got the witness to the guy, man, and it turned out he was a Christian. He's like, man, I appreciate you coming and talking to me. And so you never know when you glorify Jesus Christ like that and you give thanks to God, you never know what's going to come about it. Jesus said if nobody would praise him, the rocks would cry out and praise him. And so that's why you ought to do it. And I can remember the first time that I really got a touch of that when I felt like the Lord got in the truck with me and I was coming to this church before I went to Bible school. And Lester Olof does a lot for me. His songs that he sang and his preaching. And I got a hold of that at WOEL on that radio station. I got to listening to that stuff on the job. You know, I could drive around place to place. I used to work with Dave Hebert when he was doing something else in that company. And we had a lot of downtime when we could ride around. I would usually do what I had to do and jump in the ditch and start shoveling stone around with all the contractors. They all loved it when I would come on the job. It was free labor. But I would spend time reading my Bible, too. There was a lot of downtime. It wasn't like I was stealing time off the clock or anything like that. I just had, it was something that the Lord gave me so that I could draw closer to him.
Yeah.
And the Lord did, man. He drew me closer to him because I was in the Bible, and I was listening to preaching from Lester Olof and singing. But I remember he was singing Living by Faith. And I couldn't help it. I was just driving. I let go of the wheel. I was like, yeah! And the truck started going this way, and I had to get back on the road, and I almost lost it. But there's nothing like that, man. There's nothing like when you give thanks to God and when it comes from a true, sincere heart, too.
Amen.
When it comes sincerely from the heart, man. And you hear about people giving lip service all the time, but you know what? Praise them anyway.
Amen.
Just do it anyway. And then it might turn into something real,
Amen.
Something substantive. That's right.
Amen.
Stir up, oh, well, I like that. But here's a song real quick. I won't take too much time with this, but this was a blessing to me. It's a little Lester. I heard it from Lester Olof. Oh, how well do I remember how I doubted day by day, for I did not know for certain that my sins were washed away. When the Spirit tried to tell me I would not the truth receive, I endeavored to be happy and to make myself believe. But it's real, oh, I know it's real. Praise God, the doubts are settled, for I know it's real. When the truth came close and searching, all my joy would disappear, for I did not have the witness of the Spirit bright and clear. If at times the coming judgment would appear before my mind, oh, it made me so uneasy, for God's smile I could not find. But at last I tired of living such a life of fear and doubt, for I wanted God to give me something I would know about, so the truth would make me happy, and the light would clearly shine, and the Spirit give assurance that I am His and He is mine. But it's real, oh, I know it's real. Thank God the doubts are settled, for I know it's real.
Amen.
So I prayed to God in earnest, and not caring what folks said, I was hungry for salvation, my poor soul, it must be fed. Then at last by faith I touched him. It was like sparks from smitten steel. Just so quick salvation reached me. Oh, bless God, I know it's real. Yes, it's real, it's real. Oh, I know it's real. Praise God, the doubts are settled, for I know it's real. And when it's real, brother, that's when the joy comes down, man. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 8, and preacher called me Friday. I was at work, and I was in one of those kind of deals again where I was listening to the Final Fight Bible radio on my phone while I was working. I was scrapping out in the yard, and I heard some good Bible teaching and some good music, you know, Christian music, and so I was just all excited. I was fired up, and then preacher called me and asked if I would be ready for this morning. And so I told him yes, but I'm glad that it went the way that it went. I truly am.
Amen.
But I took some time, man. I took some time and studied this thing for 4 or 5 hours, man. I'm not saying that to brag, but it was good for me to get in the Bible and study like Amen. That. And I wish I could do that more often. Amen. Really, I wish I could do it a whole lot more often. Amen. But there's nothing better than that, but getting closer to the Lord. You know, you got the Lord's giving you something to do, man. Do it. And there's nothing better than that. There's really not. Just the whole Christian life, I keep saying there's nothing better than that. The whole Christian life and preaching for Jesus Christ, there's nothing better than that.
Yeah.
Solomon, he said, vanity is vanity. All is vanity.
Yeah.
You young folks and everybody in here, we get tied up in life, even as adults.
Yeah.
There's nothing better than doing what Jesus Christ wants you to do.
Right.
You know, you might not be called to be a pastor. You might not be called to be an evangelist or whatever big title that's put out there. There's nothing better than ministering to people and serving. That's what it's all about. And I'm glad Pastor Ryman told me that a long time ago when I was in Bible school. People can get up and preach and rip faces off and, you know, do this and do that. And preaching's good. Now, Paul told Timothy, he said, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort. That's mostly negative.
Yep.
Reproof is saying, look, you're wrong here. Now, let's get it right.
Right.
Rebuke is like scolding you for it. Amen. That's rebuke. Yeah. That's biblical. When a preacher gets up and preaches, an old-timer said, if a preacher don't make you feel mean, then he's no good.
That's right. Yeah.
The gospel is more negative than positive.
Amen.
And so that's just the truth.
Amen.
But there's exhortation, and we can't have that lack either.
Amen.
And we got to encourage each other to work, serve together, because it's all about Him. It ain't about us and our little personalities and who's doing this and who's doing that. That's not what it's about.
Amen.
And so thank God.
Amen.
But here in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, I want to show some contrast here between two different churches, and I want to talk about Thanksgiving and being thankful in certain aspects. But let's start in verse 1 of 2 Corinthians chapter 8. It says, moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord, and unto us by the will of God, insomuch that we desired Titus, that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith, and utterance, and knowledge, and in all diligence, and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich.
Amen.
Father, I pray that you please bless your word
and
bless your folks, Lord God, and I pray that you please fill me, Lord, and cover me in the blood of Jesus Christ, Lord. I just pray that you please help us all to be more like Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Help us to take heed to what Paul's saying here. And I just pray that you please do it all in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
So Paul's writing to the Corinthians. That's plain and clear. It's in 2 Corinthians. And if you know anything about the Corinthian church is known as a carnal church.
Right.
1 Corinthians, that whole book, Paul is going through there, and he's reproving and rebuking the Corinthians for sin that was going on in that church.
Right.
Right out of the gate, man, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, he's talking about the judgment seat of Christ. Or he says before that, he says, ye are yet carnal because some are saying they're following after this guy. Some are saying they're following after that guy. And Paul's like, man, you're all carnal.
They're all carnal babies. But then he goes, you know what? You got the judgment seat of Christ coming up. That's more important to be thinking about right now than all the little things going on in your life, who you want to cling to, the things that are visible to you that you want to grab onto. And so he's writing to these Corinthians here, and there was all kinds of stuff going through 1 Corinthians that Paul had to correct. There was incest in the church and just all manner of different stuff, but there's a lot of good doctrine in 1 Corinthians. Amen. And so in 2 Corinthians, Paul starts commending them because they got things right. And thank God we have the ability to get things right. Amen. If you've sinned, you can get right. Amen. If you fall, Jesus Christ said, if the man falls, you can forgive him 7 times. The Bible says in Proverbs, if a man fall, he gets right back up again and keeps going. And Peter asked the Lord Jesus Christ, if a man sinned, how many times do I forgive him? He said, not 7 times, but 70 times 7. And so here Paul exercises that truth. And he's exhorting the Corinthians to do right. But note, I want you to notice the contrast between the Corinthian church and the church that Paul mentions here in Macedonia. He says in verse 1, moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. So what Paul's saying is, look, you Corinthians, you need to pay attention to what the Macedonian church is doing. And it says there how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded under the riches of their liberality. So here Paul's saying that the Macedonian church abounds in one thing. And in verse 7, therefore, as ye abound in everything. So the Corinthian church, man, they were pretty prosperous. Because in Corinth, that was like a naval town. It was a port town. And you know any port town in America or around the world, they've got all kinds of stuff going on. There's money getting passed back and forth. People were doing all right. They were pretty prosperous. That's not to say that they were a rich church. That's not to say that they had everything they wanted. Just like a church like you and I, we're all working class people. The Corinthians were working class people, and they were just part of that church. And Paul's saying, look, as ye abound in everything, you still need to take note about some people that are out there that don't have everything,
that's right,
that don't have what you have.
Amen.
Read verse 7. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith. How many times have you got to hear the gospel in your life?
Amen.
How prevalent is the gospel in our community?
Amen.
Thank God it is, and it needs to get put out more. We need to put it out more. But I thank God that even as a little boy in a Southern Baptist church in Jarrettsville, Maryland, of all places, I know you never heard of it, my aunt took me to Royal Ambassadors and the other little things at night, and I heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then later on, my mother was going to a non-denominational church called Calvary Chapel of Delta, Pennsylvania, right on the line, the Maryland line, and I heard the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
They had the King James Bible, and well, not in the Southern Baptist church. That place will put you to sleep, man. I'll tell you what, that preacher would get up there, if you want to call him a preacher, he'd get up there, and I don't even know what he said. It was truly like, you know, not the Muppets, but Charlie Brown. It truly was like that to me, and I would go play and have fun. That was all that was about. But it was there. It was a good influence. But then as I got a little bit older and I realized more that I was a sinner, thank God in that non-denominational church where they had the rock and roll band and they had all the stuff and it was just a big cheese fest, really. Back then I knew that it was all a joke when it came to that. But I thank God that the Holy Spirit of God spoke to my heart one day.
Amen.
That pastor was up there teaching out of the book of Revelation. He was teaching in Revelation chapter 20, talking about that lake of fire. And he said, if your name's not found written in that book of life, you're going to be cast in the lake of fire. And I was an 11-year-old boy, and I heard that thing, and I knew that my name wasn't in that book of life. I knew as an 11-year-old boy that I was going to hell when I died. I knew it. The Spirit of God put his finger right on my heart and said, you.
Amen.
You. And thank God for that. So, as ye abound, and we abound in faith, verse 7, in utterance, how much good preaching do you get, man?
Amen.
How much preaching have you heard in this church?
Amen.
How much preaching have you heard elsewhere, man? We got devices, we can pull up any kind of good Bible preaching. I've been under the best Bible teaching and Bible preaching in the world.
Amen.
I've heard missionaries from around the world come and preach and teach, nationals from different countries that know that what it's like to have nothing, come and preach and teach. And man, somebody told me one time, I said, man, you ought to get this CD and hear these sermons from this guy. I said, man, I've got too much I'm accountable for already. And that struck me, man. I've got a whole stack of books in my house, things that I haven't even read yet. I'm accountable for that information and that thing. Because as a preacher, I'm supposed to gather information and give it out.
Amen.
That's what we're supposed to do, how to relate it to God and get it back to people.
Amen.
That's what we're supposed to do as preachers. So in utterance and knowledge, there's that knowledge. Knowledge of what? Knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and knowledge of the Bible. And in all diligence, we have the opportunity and the capability to go out and reach people in this area. We have those buses that run. We are blessed, man. Yeah. We are blessed to get in that bus and fire that thing up, and it starts right up, and I can pull off and go pick off kids. That's a blessing, man. That's a blessing for me that I can get in my van a Sunday afternoon last weekend and ride down to a nursing home, and there's a whole congregation just waiting for me to preach to. Man, that's a blessing. It's a blessing for the pastor to come here and have folks that are ready to hear the word of God.
Amen. Amen.
Man, diligence. Christians, thank God for your diligence. There were Corinthians that were diligent in serving God. And in your love to us. Now look what Paul said in the end of verse 7. He's talking to the Corinthians. See that ye abound in this grace also. What grace is that? Verse 2. How that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded under the riches of their liberality. So you got a church that has absolutely nothing, dirt poor. And then you got a church that's, man, they might not be the richest people in the world, but they're prospering. They're thriving. They're working. They are able to pay their bills. They're able to do this. And yet, it almost seems like the people that have absolutely nothing love the Lord more, and they give more,
right,
and they appreciate more. They're more thankful.
Right.
You see that time and time again. Whenever we go door knocking, the most time you get results is in a rundown trailer park instead of these big, huge neighborhoods like this. What's up with that, man? Because people, when they have everything, they get complacent. They get past feeling. They don't learn to appreciate things that they didn't have once before. And I know what that's like. I know what it's like to not have things. Paul said, I know how to abound and I know how to abase. And I thank God in my own life I got to learn about that. I mean, I thank God my mother, she did what she could as a single mom. My dad died when I was 4 years old, and she raised my sister and I, and she had two more kids after us, and she worked and provided for us. I didn't have everything I wanted, but we had a roof over our head. I had shoes on my feet. I had clothes on my back. And at the time, I was just a snot-nosed little jerk and didn't care. And I thought that I deserved more. That's not the case.
Man.
And then someday, as I got older, I was 16 years old, I left, got out of there. Another person took me in and helped me and took care of me, and I was really spoiled then, man. These folks owned a restaurant. They had money. I could do whatever I wanted. I didn't have to worry about much of anything. But then after she sold her house and left, here I am 16, almost 17 years old, and I had nothing. I had no place to live. I could have went and lived with aunts. But, you know, I'm a man. You know, I'm 16 years old. I'm 17 years old. I know what I'm doing. I don't need nobody. I was working. I had a job. I had a pickup truck. And I was so stubborn and stupid. I lived out of that pickup truck and lived like a stinking vagabond, like a fool, man, just the lowest of the low, just a dirty dirt piece of white trash just floating around in Harford County, Maryland. That's all it was, man.
Amen.
I thank God, man, that the Lord pulled me out of the pit that I was in.
Amen.
So, you know what? It's good if you learn how to abase.
Amen.
It's good that if you learn how to suffer a little bit for some things. Learn how to suffer for want. Not having things, not eating, stuff like that. So you see that comparison there, how this one church had nothing and the Corinthian church had just about whatever they wanted.
That's right. Yeah.
And so he tells these people here that they need to learn of this grace. Now look in verse 10. Paul said, and herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you, who have begun before not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. He's talking to the Corinthians. Now, therefore, perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which ye have. So with everything that we have, like I said a little while ago, we're going to be accountable for what we did with it. You folks in here that I'm talking to right now, everything you have, you are going to be accountable for what you did with it. Come this judgment seat of Christ. That's not being mean. That's not me looking down my nose at you. That's God telling you, look, you're going to stand before him one day. And you're going to give an account for all the times that you could have given the gospel, all the times you could have given your money, all the times you could have given your help, your hands, your back, all the times you could have done that. That's what it's talking about here. Are you truly thankful? That's, and it's going to get, we're going to get there, folks.
Yeah,
we're going to get there about being thankful.
Amen.
So this whole passage is a lot about giving. You know what? I've heard missionary stories. He talked about it today. There's missionaries in Africa. They go and preach, and they come to a village, and they have a service, and there's 60, 50 people. They're sitting on dirt floors, and there's chickens running around inside the little hut where they're having a service. There's stinking lions out there, you know, growling and everything else, and elephants out there. We're going to run them over. And the preacher goes and preaches his heart out, and the whole stinking village gets saved. And you know what? You know how they show their appreciation? Not only did they truly show it with their tears and with their sincerity, they showed it with all that they had. A little chicken. Sometimes it's all that they could offer. A chicken or a stack of bananas. And they brought it and gave it to the missionary and laid it at his feet. Talk about humbling, man. You talk about humbling as a missionary. Going to people that know that have nothing. And you go and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know it all too well, don't you? You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. That, though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that through his poverty you might be rich. So Paul's telling you in verse 10 and 11, he said, look, now you know all this stuff. You know how much you have. You know how good God's been to you, okay? Praise God for it, but there's something you ought to do. Not only should you praise God, you ought to do some performing. You ought to go out and perform what God has given you. You ought to perform it every day of your life. And it's hard, man. I'm not perfect. I'm not. Nobody is. You know that. I get stuck in my ways. I get selfish. I get bitter. I get angry. But you know what? My famous saying is just get over yourself. Who are you? Get over yourself. I say it to myself. Get over yourself because you're nothing. I say that to myself. Okay? You're nothing.
Amen.
Get over it. And then when you start realizing that, and don't get stuck there neither, because that's bad trouble too. You can't get stuck there and just keep beating yourself down, because then you're going to tear everybody else down around you. That's right. And that's no good. What good is that?
Amen.
So these are things that you got to learn in your Christian life. So if you start with ground one, you start at zero, you got nothing. And then when you see all nothing but him, man, and you got that grace of God abounding toward you, then you're able to do something.
Amen.
You're able to perform. And so as you realize these things in life, how good you've been, and you can sing about it and you can praise God about it in church, go out beyond the church and perform what you're saying, what you're praising out of your mouth.
Amen.
If you're saying that you are thankful for the things that you're thankful, then go out and perform it.
Amen.
Look what he said. Verse 8, I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity. He said, prove it. Now, I can't tell you how many times I was out on the street in Pensacola just passing out tracts, just witnessing. And you'll get some backslidden Christian come up and they'll say, well, I'm saved, you know, and or whatever they'll say. And they've got beer in their hand and they smell like liquor or cigarette hanging out of their mouth. I say, well, amen, why don't you prove it?
Amen.
Throw that cigarette down, pour your beer out. I have grace with them and say, come on, come with us, come preach with us. Pour out the beer and come preach with us. And there's people that have done it. They've been bold enough to do it. I thank God for that. That's a blessing when somebody's like, you know what? You're right. And they get rid of it. And then they might go back to it later, a couple weeks later. But that night, they got a little step closer to victory.
Amen.
And that's what it's all about, man, is little steps at a time.
That's right.
And how many times I've said, well, prove it. Put your money where your mouth is.
Amen. Yeah.
This whole passage, man, Paul is really talking about giving money. You do what you want with your money. A tithe is a commandment. But Paul says, I give my advice and I'm exhorting you. It's not by commandment, but you ought to put your money where your mouth is.
Amen.
You ought to.
Amen.
A lot of people talk.
That's right. Yeah, amen,
you can put on a great show that you're pious.
Amen.
And that you're so close to God and that you love God. But the Bible says, let your love be without dissimulation.
Amen.
That means don't be fake.
Amen.
Don't be fake about it.
Amen.
I struggle, man, with my life and different things, but you know what? Don't be fake about it.
Amen. Amen.
There's a lot of people that just ooze and drip with piety. Oh, Lord bless you. Hallelujah. They give the name. They give the words out. And you know what? They're good words, but you know, don't be fake. I hate somebody that's, I can't stand somebody that's fake.
Amen.
Shouldn't say hate, but you know what? I just can't stand that fakeness. Just be real.
Amen.
Come on.
Amen.
I mean, I'm as real as you get. I'm just a dumb thump, man.
Amen.
I don't know what the heck, you know, I don't know which way is up half the time. And I didn't know until I had the Bible.
That's right, amen.
But that's what the grace of God can do for somebody.
Yep.
Pull you out of the hole and give you something to do, and you can use your mouth for Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And you can put your back to it. You know, there's a Bible, I forget where the verse is, but it says that the Tekoites would not put their necks to the work of the Lord. I mean, you got to get in that thing and you got to work sometimes. It takes work and it's hard. It's hard. It can be hard on your family. But you know what? It's not as hard as being a transgressor. You know, the Bible says the way of transgressors is hard. And the Lord Jesus Christ said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So even though it might get strugglesome at times, it's not as hard as living wicked. I'll tell you that right now. It ain't nothing even close to it. Look at verse 12. For if there first be a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. Thank God for that. So I don't have all the wisdom of the world. I don't have all the knowledge of the world. I definitely don't have all the looks of the world. I don't have none of that stuff. But you know what? It's not according to what a man has or what he has not. It's just according to what's, if you're willing. If there first be a willing heart. For I mean not that other men be eased and ye be burdened, but by inequality. How about that? Look, read that for a minute. But by equality, you got those missionaries on that backboard that gave everything.
That's right.
They forsook their families. They forsook their jobs. They forsook their homes. And they're out in a foreign land. Some of them are in Africa and India, some of the most desolate places you can imagine. And they gave it all.
That's right.
To do what? Give life, give love. You know how the best way to prove how much love you have for people? The gospel.
Yeah.
It truly is. That's the best way you can prove your love. You need to prove it. You need to prove it. You need to perform it. For I mean not that other men be eased and ye be burdened, but by inequality that now at this time your abundance may be a supply for their want, that their abundance also may be a supply for your want, that there may be equality. As it is written, he that had gathered much had nothing over, and he that had gathered little had no lack. But thanks be to God, which put the same earnest care into the heart of Titus for you. For indeed he accepted the exhortation, but being more forward of his own accord, he went unto you. And if would to God some young men and some women, and there are, thank God, and some of you old men and old women would be more forward in your faith.
Amen.
Going out and doing these things. You know, you say, I've heard this so many times. I hear all the time, you got to read your Bible. You got to pray. You got to witness. And so on and so forth. But look in verse 1 of chapter 9. Paul said this, for as touching the ministering to the saints, so that's exhorting one another and money-wise, it is superfluous for me to write to you. You know what that word superfluous means? It means redundant, over and over and over again, in excess. It is superfluous. It's important that I tell you over and over and over and over again. And that's an English dictionary. That's nothing Greek breaking down, believe me. For me to write to you, for I know the forwardness of your mind, for which I boast of you to them of Macedonia, that Achaia was ready a year ago, and your zeal hath provoked very many. And so Paul getting these Corinthians ready because he's sending Titus over to gather some money from people that Paul knew had money because they were working class people. And he's going to take it back to that church in Macedonia to supply the ministry of the saints.
Amen.
He's going to minister to other people. So the Bible says this in verse 6, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. So as you abound in finances, in faith, in Bible, in all these things that we are blessed with in America, you ought to abound in good works. My brother said it in Sunday school this morning. He's been saying, I thank God. You know, the Bible says that righteousness exalteth the nation. You and I, folks, as saved people, ought to live holy lives.
Right,
we need to strive. And you know what? You know, I'm like I said, man, we all got to work on it.
Amen.
But it's superfluous that we keep talking about living holy lives.
Amen.
Don't look at the junk you look at.
Right.
It's not all about do's and don'ts. There's a guy at Polytech. I go to school at night there, and he's a young fella. And I say, look, man, forget religion. Forget it.
Right.
It's not about a list of do's and don'ts, but first you need to come to know Jesus Christ.
Right.
You need to get into his word. You need to get around fellowship of Christians. But as you've grown in time, there's things that you need to just cut out Cut them out, man.
Yeah. Amen.
Get rid of them. It's such a waste of time. A stupid football game.
Yeah.
Stupid. How could I sit there for 3 hours and watch that stupid football game?
Amen.
It is. It's just a I like the game. I like the sport. But, man, sitting there watching it on the television is just a waste of time.
Amen.
It truly is. I just got sick of it. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. If I could abound in anything, man, I'd like to abound in good works.
Amen.
Proving my sincerity to Jesus Christ.
Right.
And it's not me shutting up the kingdom of heaven against you, me and proving I'm better than you. That ain't what
right.
it's about. You do what you got to do. I'm doing what I got to do.
Amen.
I'm answering to God. Now, no man lives to himself and no man dies to himself. I don't want you to slack behind. I want to help you. I want to encourage you, man. Go. Fight. Fight on.
Amen.
Go
Amen.
Forward. Progress. Do something. That's what we got to do. We need to abound. Look in verse 11 of chapter 9. Being rich in everything. You know, the Bible says in John chapter 1, of his fullness have we all received. That verse, when people were giving testimony this morning, I was thinking about that verse. Of his fullness have we all received.
Amen.
You ever stop and think about that? You walk out and see the clouds. You see the nature. You see the different things. You see that you go out on the beach. You see that ocean. You see all that sand. Of his fullness have we all received. That's a gift from God. This is my Father's world. You stop and thank God for all the beautiful things all around us.
Amen.
Of his fullness have we all received, and yet the half has not been told
Amen.
Yet, man.
Yeah.
The best is yet to come. Thank God. Being enriched in everything to all bountifulness. Man, how much bountifulness do we have? Which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. That's where I was going to get to the thanksgiving. For the administration of service not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. Whilst by the experiment of this ministration they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ, and for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men, and by their prayer for you, which long after you for the exceeding grace of God in you, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. So you know what Paul's talking about? He's talking about thank God for his grace. He's given us grace to witness for Jesus Christ, to give to preachers, missionaries, evangelists, to go out and exhort other churches, to see people saved, and you know what? And send Bibles to those missionaries. So guess what? Because God gave us the grace in order to give, he's given them the gift of the Bibles and whatever it is, the salvation, the preacher that went to preach the word, and they're thanking God for missionaries, for churches sending money and missionaries to those fields, and it's just one big circle of life that God made.
Amen.
It's a blessing to be part of that, man.
Amen.
Stop and think about it. We're in God's work
Amen.
By giving to provoke other people to go out more. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it ought to be your desire to abound even more as time goes on,
yeah.
no matter what comes. And because, you know what, we got no excuse. Because
right.
it's not according to what a man has and what a man has not. It's according to what's in your heart.
Amen.
And sadly, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. Men shall be lovers of their own selves. Covetous. That's a bad one right there.
Yeah, right.
Covetous. You say, I'm not covetous. Oh, yeah? The commercials you see, the little devices that you desire, the pickup truck that I want, all that stuff. Covetous. It's true.
Amen.
It's in every one of us, and it dwells there because people, it's only natural for people to want more and want better.
Right. Yeah.
But it's in you.
That's right. That's right.
But it doesn't mean it has to abound.
Amen, brother.
The covetous doesn't have to abound. You know what? The Bible says covetous is idolatry. You covet those things, and that's one of the commandments. Thou shalt not covet. And how many times do Christians break that thing?
That's right.
That's why these prosperity preachers, man, I'm not for them because, man, they're preaching that stuff. It's just covetous. What about people that don't have nothing?
Right.
What about people in China that are in jail right now for just believing the Bible?
Right.
It's true. North Korea, there's people that are being killed in North Korea because they're holding underground churches. They can't
right.
worship God like you and I have the freedom to.
Yep. That's right. Right.
Man, I am going to stand before God next to some people like that.
Yeah.
Right.
And I'm going to be about that tall compared to some of those people.
Yes, sir.
That's why I say we ain't nothing, folks. I'm nothing.
Yeah.
But I have, man, I thank God for missionaries, and I thank God for other Christians that are going through things. Not that you don't have a hard time, not that there aren't struggles, man, there are. Corinthians, man, it wasn't so free and easy for them. They had struggles, they had hard times. But does it boil down, are you truly thankful? It says, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful. That's in 2 Timothy chapter 3, that whole list. Unthankful. Unholy, boasters, proud, blasphemers. I said that.
Yeah.
Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth.
Right.
That could talk about Christians, man. Saved people can be all those things.
Right.
God forbid that be it. You need to get back to that, man. As you've grown in grace in the Lord Jesus Christ, you ought to start considering what some of those missionaries are up to. What other Christians around the world are up to. We don't have it that bad. We truly don't. Man, it tears me up when I hear about those Voice of the Martyrs, man. Their 70-year-old Chinese woman is in jail. The prisoner makes all these people line up, and they make them chant, prison is good. And the little 70-year-old Chinese woman stands up and says, but Jesus is better. And you know what the guard made that woman do? 50 push-ups, 70-year-old woman. And she does it, but she thanks God. There's Christians in Iraq. There's Christians in Iran. There's Christians in Pakistan that are getting killed for their faith.
Amen.
I'm glad I don't have to go through that. I'm glad I don't have somebody busting in my door and taking my daughters and all that stuff. I don't want to. I'm not saying you have to go there to be a good Christian, to be put through something like that. That's not the case. I'm saying, where's your heart?
Amen.
Where is your heart?
Amen.
It can go real quick, man. If you come to God, man, and you're straight, just get back. That's all you got to do. We all kind of get dirty as we walk in life. But get it right and get right back, man.
Amen.
Like he said, you can't ever go wrong thanking God. That last verse in chapter 9, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift.
Amen.
Every time I go to read this thing, man, as much as I've taken it for granted, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift.
Amen.
Because by this, I learned about salvation. By this, I learned how to pray. By this, I learned how to live in life.
That's right.
The entrance of thy words giveth light, it giveth understanding to the simple. That is my life verse.
Amen.
To the simple. Amen? And thank God for it.
Amen.
Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. So, we got Christmas coming up too. We got Thanksgiving. What are you thankful for? You praise God for things. Why don't you perform those things that you praise him for?
Yeah.
I dare you to do it. I challenge you.
Amen.
Perform those things. I'm trying to provoke you to good things, good
Amen.
Works.
Amen.
As Christmas comes up and we're worried about buying our kids this and buying our kids that, which is fine. Man, spoil them, man. Thank God that we have that ability. But don't forget all the people that have nothing.
Yep.
Be thankful in your heart. And that's what God's going to judge us by, where our heart was. Because where your heart is, there will your treasure be also.
Amen.
Amen.